The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashas is Parashas Chaye Soro. Vayu Chaye Soro, Mea Shona Ve'esrim Shona, Sheva Shonim Shnei Chaye Soro. And the years of Chai of Soro was 127 years. Atoma Soro Bekiryas Arba, Ichev Rein Beretz Kenon. And Soro died in Kiryas Arba, which is Hebron, in Canaan, in Eretz Yisrael, Vayovei Avraham Lispeh Lesoro Ve'liv Koso. And Abraham came to eulogize Sora and to weep for her. Not too much in the Torah is said about the unique personality of Sora. Just who was she? What was her particular greatness? There's no doubt that she must have been very, very great because she was the wife of Abraham. Abraham was one of the greatest individuals who ever lived on this earth. And he was the Evan Apino, the cornerstone of Klal Yisrael, of the world, like we've spoken about many times. So Sora must have been very fit for him. And we have the Shlesha Oves and Arba Imos, the three patriarchs and the four matriarchs. But let's see if we can find a little in the Torah somewhat about Sora. The first time Sora is mentioned in the Torah is at the end of Parshas Noach. There, Bereishis Yud Aleph Pasuk Chof Tes, it states, Vayikach Avram v'Nochor lahem noshim. Avram and his brother Nochor took wives. This was still when they were in Ur Kasdim, before he went to Eretz Yisrael. Shemeshis Avram Soroi, the name of the wife of Avram. The original name of Avraham was Avram, and the name of the wife of Avram was Soroi. Later it was changed to Soro. Vishem Eshes Nochor Milko, and his brother Nochor took Milko. Bas Horon, Milko was the daughter of Horon. Who was Horon? Horon was a third brother. We had Avraham, Nochor, and Horon. And Abraham married Soro. Nochor married Milka, the daughter of Horon. And it states, Horon was Avi Milka, the father of Milka, and Avi Yisko, and the father of Yisko. Who was Yisko? So the Chazal say, Yisko zu Soro. Yisko was Soro. It comes out that Soro had two names. She was called Soroi, or Sorai, and she was called Yisko. And it comes out also that Abraham and Horon both married their nieces. Their wives both were the daughters of their brother Horon. But he Sorai Akora ein lavolod, and Sora was barren. She had no child. Vayikach Terech es Abraham b'nei. Terach took Avram his son, Veslait ben Horon ben Benai, and he took Lot, who was a grandson of his, the son of Horon, Veisorai Kalosai, Eshes Avram Benai, and he took Sorai, who was his daughter-in-law, the wife of Avram, Vayetsu itum me'itum mi'ur Kasdim, and they went with him from Ur Kasdim. Ur Kasdim is where they originated in. This was Bavel, Iraq. Lalechas Hatzo Kenan, to go to Eretz Kenan, Vayavo at Horon. And they came to a place called Horon, Vayesh Fusham, and this is where they stayed. And then Terach died, and after that, Abraham went further on to Eretz Yisrael. So we see Sora had two names, Sora and Yisko. Rashi brings Yisko, what does that mean? Shesecha Beruach HaKodesh. that she was able to see into the future. She had insight of Ruach HaKodesh. In other words, she was a Nevi'ah, a prophetess. U'shahakol seichin b'yofyo. And also, yiskor, the word yiskor, socher, means to gaze, to see. That comes from the word yiskor. Another meaning of the name was shahakol seichin b'yofyo. Everyone would gaze at her beauty. So these are two meanings in the word yiskor. What does Sora mean? She had another name, Sorai. The word Sora is a Hebrew word, which means Sar, a princess, a queen. And Rashi brings that. Sora, Loshen Sroro. Rashi brings a third interpretation also in yiskor. The yiskor means Nesichus. Nesichus also means Loshen Sroro. Queenship, royalty. But on that third interpretation of Rashi, it doesn't seem that everyone might agree to that. But at any rate, we see here amongst the two names three attributes. One is Ruach HaKodesh, Yiskor Sheseicha Beruach HaKodesh. Another, beauty, Shakol Seichin B'yofyo, and then another, Sroro, the word Sroro, royalty. Let's go first to the attribute of beauty, Shakol Seichin B'yofyo. This is something which is quite evident from the Torah, because immediately afterwards, and Parshas Lech Lecha states that Abraham and Sarah went to Canaan, Eretz Yisrael, and there was a famine. This is in Lech Lecha Yud Beis Posuk Yud. Vayhi Rov Be'oretz. Vayeder Avram Yitzrayim Alogur Shom Ki Chovei Rov Be'oretz. Because of the famine, they went down to Egypt. And when they came to Egypt, so Avram said to Sarah, Hinei no yadati ki ish yafas mare'ot. I know that you are a very beautiful woman. Behoyo ki yiru osocha mitzrim, and when the Egyptians will see you, the omru ish tezeis, and they will say this is his wife. Ohorgo isiva isochichayu, so they will kill. Avram said they will kill him, and they will let you live. Imri noach esiot lemanit avli bavurech b'chois nafshi b'glolech. So please tell them that you're my sister. When they came to Egypt, Bayiru Amitri Meso Ishiki Yofre Himi Od, and the Egyptians saw that she was very beautiful. And the Sore Paro, the noblemen and ambassadors of Paro saw her, by Halalu Iso El Paro. They praised her to Paro, Vatukahu Isha Beis Paro, and she was taken to the house of Paro. Now, this tells us something. Not only if she was beautiful, but not every woman that would come. Paro was a mighty king. Not every woman that would come to Egypt would necessarily be abducted. And if she would be abducted, they wouldn't necessarily bring her to Paro. So Rashi brings that he says that when they saw her, so they said, Hagonezu Lamelech. The beauty of this woman is so extraordinary that it's appropriate, she's appropriate for a king. And they took her to the king. Rashi brings, but actually it's the Medrash. The Medrash elaborates a little more on this. The Medrash tells us, and Rashi brings the Medrash, but the Medrash itself elaborates a little more. The Medrash in Medrash Rabbah on Lech Lecho, Parshas Mem, Os Dalad. It states, "Vayhi kasher hikiv lova mitzrayimo, kol hashonim halolo." Who imove achshuvo imalo hineno yadati ki ishu yafas mareot. What does it mean that Avram says it implies now I'm aware of your beauty, and before he wasn't aware of the beauty. Ela shal yidei aderech odem misbaze v'zu amda biyofyo. Medrash brings two reasons. Firstly, generally, when you travel, especially in those days, even today, traveling is difficult. In those days, they didn't have air-conditioned airplanes. It was across the desert by camel. So generally, a person loses their well-groomedness and their beauty. She did not lose her beauty at all. The Bzeir b'shem Reb Simon Omar holachnu ba'arim narayim ba'arim nochor ve'lemotzon ishu ne'al kameshko ba'akshov shona nignosim lamokim kurim shkurim imrino achosiat. That he, Avram was saying something else. He says, even in my homeland, which was in Aram Naraim and Aram Nochor, there you were extraordinarily beautiful. Now that we're coming to Egypt, and it seems that the ancient Egyptians were not very good-looking people, here for sure your beauty will stand out. It states, "Vayikvo Avram Yitzrayimo vayiru Amitzrim." When Avraham came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw her. The Medrash asks, why does it say Avraham came to Egypt? It should say when Avraham and Sarah came to Egypt. Sarah hechen ha'isa. Where was Sarah? Bateva v'nal befoneho. Avraham put her in the box, in a big trunk. Now, generally, when you travel, you don't have to put your wife in a trunk. Avraham had this problem. He put her in a trunk. When they came to the border, so there, the Egyptians demanded duty. They said, give us the duty, give us taxes. All right, so Avraham says, I'll give you what you want. So they said, you're probably carrying clothing in your trunks. He said, all right, I'll give you some clothing. They said, perhaps you're carrying gold in your trunk. He says, all right, I'll give you gold. Perhaps you're carrying precious silks. He says, all right, I'll give you precious silks. Perhaps you're carrying pearls. He says, all right, I'll give you pearls. They weren't satisfied. They said, we want to see. Avram says, don't look. I'll give you whatever you want. No. Finally, they decided they will open the trunk. Kiven sheposcho, when they opened the trunk, hifiku kol eretz Mitzrayim izivo. The whole Egypt became lit up with her radiance. So we're speaking here of more of a regular beauty. It says, hifiku kol eretz Mitzrayim izivo. Entire land became lit up from her radiance. And they said, Amri, ikunin shel chavo nimsro l'reishi hadoros. This is the beauty of Chava, the first woman that Hashem created. The Gemara tells us was the most beautiful creation in history. It was the handiwork of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we also know that both Adam and Chava had an enormous radiance. The Gemara tells us in Bava Basra that one of the Tanoim, was a Tanoim or the Amoraim, Chachmei Hashas, was searching for the kever, for the cave where Adam HaRishon was buried in. And it says he found it. And they asked him, what did you see? He said, I saw the heels of the feet of Adam HaRishon gave off as much light as Shnei Galgel Gale Chamo, as two great balls of the sun. The Maral explains, because the Tzelem Elohim, the radiance of Adam HaRishon, was so great. And the main radiance on a person is where? On a face. And the part of the body that has the least radiance is the heel. And he said, still the heels gave off such light. So Chava also had this radiance. And they said, this was the radiance of Chava. Then the Medrash says, Baram hocha ki yofi mi'od. It states that they said that she was yofa hi mi'od, very, very beautiful. Mi'od me'il kinyon shel Chava. They wanted to say that her beauty even exceeded the beauty of Chava. From the Gemara, it's other Gemaras, it seems that no beauty exceeded the beauty of Chava. But this is how they were impressed. The Gemara brings in Masechet Megillah and Daf Tes Vov, Gemara says, Tone Rabbonan, Arba Noshim Yefifyois Hoyu Ba'elum. There were four women whose beauty stood out in all of creation. Sora was the first one, Rahab was the second one, Abigail the third, and Esther the fourth. Taisha says, we're not speaking though about Chava, we're speaking about a Yelud Isho, someone that was born, not someone that was made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. So here we get an idea of when it speaks of the beauty of Sora, what it's referring to. Now we see the same thing, because in Parshas Vayera, last week's Parsha, Parsha Chof, Avraham went to Eretz Gror, Plishtim, and again he told Sora, "Ishtei Achesihi, say that you're my sister, so they will not take you and kill me." And again she was abducted by the Melech Gror. He went and he took Sora. Again we see the same thing. She was abducted by kings. It seems that this was a constant problem for Avraham. Now one further point on this. These two episodes that take place, Sora was not a very young lady at that time. She was already much older. What took place by Abimelech, that was already after the three malochim, the three angels, came and told Abraham and Sora that she will give birth to a son. And then the sages tell us that already youthful changes were taking place in her body. At that time, she was close to 90 years old, because the following year she gave birth and she was 90. So the episode of Avimelech, which takes place immediately afterwards, right in that year, she was 90. But we can say that she was already returned to her youth. But the episode that takes place here with Pare, this is after they came to Eretz Canaan. And just shortly before them, in the beginning of Lech Lecha, in Pasuk Dalet, It states V'Avraham ben Chom Eishonim V'Shivim Shona B'Tzeisu Mechoron, that Avraham was 75 when he left Choron, which means that Sarah, who was 10 years younger, was 65. So the episode with Parai took place when she was 65 or older. And still, this woman was such a beauty that she was appropriate for kings. So, therefore, she was called Yisko, Shahakol Seichin B'Yofsho. Everyone would gaze at her beauty. This is one of the attributes that we find by Sora. Actually, we find this by all of the Emos, this attribute of beauty, but in particular by Sora. Let's go to the second one. Yisko Shesecha Beruach HaKodesh, that she could look, gaze, penetrate the unknown with her Ruach HaKodesh, with a prophecy. The source for this is also a Gemara in Masechta Megillah. The Gemara tells us, this is on Daf Yud Dalet, the Gemara states, Arboim v'shmeina neviim v'sheva nevios shenishnabnu lehem liYisrael. There were 48 prophets and 7 prophetesses which gave prophecy to Israel. Then the Gemara asks, who were the 7 prophetesses? So the Gemara says, as soon as I can find it here, here in the Gemara, 1 minute. Isban Ninhu, who are the 7 prophetesses? Sora, so the first one that's mentioned is Sora, Miriam, Devorah, Hannah, Abigail, Hulda, and Esther. These are the 7 prophetesses for Israel. How do we know Sora? So the Gemara brings our posuk. It says Avi Milka v'Avi Yisko v'Omer Yisko Yisko Zusora v'Loma Nikro Shmo Yisko Shesochas v'Beruach HaKodesh. Her name was Yisko. Why? Because she could gaze and penetrate into the unknown with Ruach HaKodesh, with the Spirit of the Almighty, with the prophecy. Now the Gemara says further, though, how do we know this is a prophecy? How do we know this means prophecy? So Gemara brings a case. Brings from also last week's Sedra. In Parshas Vayero, after she gave Hagar, before she gave birth to Yitzchok, she was barren, and she gave Hagar, her handmaid, to Abraham. And Abraham gave birth to Hagar, to Yishmael. Then, when Sarah gave birth to Yitzchok, so the Torah tells us, this is in Bereishis Kof Aleph, Parshas Vayera, Pasuk Tes, Vateres Sarah ben Hagar Amitzri, Sashay Yolda Lavrom Etzachek. Sarah saw that Yishmael was not good, a good influence, and he was not a good chaver for her son. But he was involved in all types of evil things. The Gemara goes into as to what, but he was involved in all types of evil things. Gemara says, there's one medrash that says that he used to build a little bima. He would build like a mizbeach, like an altar, and he would catch grasshoppers, and he would place them on the altar and sacrifice them. He was already playing with Aveda Zora, with idolatry. In other cases, he would shoot arrows at Yitzchok. At any rate, he was going off the wrong way. Batomel Avraham, so she told Avraham, Goreish ho'oma azeish vespono, chase out the maidservant and her son. Kila yirash ben oma azeish ibni im Yitzchok, because he shall not inherit together with my son Yitzchok. She knew. Ki be Yitzchok yikore lachozora, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had separated Avraham from the entire world and gave Avraham the special brochas, and he said, from you will come a seed that will be benivrachum. Kol mishpachei sa'adoma will be a blessed seed, and all of the families of the earth will be blessed through them. And she knew that it would be through Yitzchok and not through Yishmael. And therefore she said, chase away Hagar and her son, because the heir to this will be Yitzchok, my son Yitzchok, and not Yishmael. And Abraham was very upset with the whole business. Al Edis Benay, what he heard his son was doing. And he didn't know what to do. And Hashem said to Abraham, Al Yera Be'einecho, Alanav Alamasecho. Don't worry and don't feel badly about all of this. Whatever Sora will tell you with her voice, listen. Listen to her voice. Because through Yitzchok will be your inheritance. The other son also will be great. He will be a great nation, because that's also your seed, I promised you. But your heir to this great brocha and destiny, that will be Yitzchok. So Rashi brings that whatever she tells you, listen. Bekol ruach hakodesh shebo, listen to the ruach hakodesh. From here we learn that Avraham was secondary to Sarah when it came to prophecy. And this is what the Gemara brings in Masechet Megillah, to tell us that Sarah was a prophetess. This needs explanation though. What is the proof she was a prophetess? Maybe Hashem said, listen to your wife. What's the proof she was a prophetess and it was Ruach HaKodesh? The answer to this is, now, this was not a case that simply one could listen to his wife on. Because Abraham was very, very disturbed with this. Rashi brings two Peirushim, he brings two interpretations why Abraham was disturbed. It states, Abraham was disturbed, Al Edis Benoi, Al Edis Benay, because of his son. One he brings from Bracious Rabbah, because he heard what the son is doing. Son is doing all types of bad, evil things. She was very upset. But the second Rashi says, Pshutai Alshar Aymeres Leila Shalchai. He was disturbed on what Sora said, to send them away. Because if you have a son that's not going on the right path, you don't chase him out of the house. What do? You give him teichicha, you rebuke him, you discipline him, you speak to him, you give him usur, you mechanech him, you teach him until he does tshuva. You don't run him out of the house and disinherit him. That's besides, Hagar was his wife also. And this is what the Gur Ayish says, the Maral. And this disturbed Avraham very much, especially in view of the fact that Avraham was the great mechanech. There was no greater teacher than Avraham. It states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avraham that the reason why I have chosen you is because I know you'll be mitzaveh as bonav ubeis ha'achrov, that it won't end with you, but you'll make sure all your children also will follow in your ways and walk in my ways. And Avraham went and taught the world about Hashem. It states as hanefesh asher osu bechorom, that when they came to Eretz Yisrael, they brought with them all of the people which they made in Choron. The Targum says, the Shabidu Laraiso, all the people that they brought to Torah. Torah wasn't given yet, but they taught them the seven mitzvahs that Adam HaRishon was commanded in, and the seventh mitzvah that Noah was commanded. Before then, nobody kept the mitzvahs. The whole world was serving idolatry, but maybe with a handful of exceptions. And it states that Avraham was Megayer. This is what he brought, all types of people under the Kanfi Ashkina, Avraham and Sora. Avraham would bring the men and Sora the women. And this was not a few. The Rambam brings tens of thousands he had. Tens of thousands of followers. So he was the great Mechanech. And also, he was the Amud HaChesed. So this is what it means, Vayera, that he was Vayera Hadover Me'od Be'enei Avraham. He was very, very upset with this. What do you mean I should take my son? Ishmael was a son. And because he's not good, I should chase him out and disinherit him and Hogar my wife. Just be good. Sora has a reason, but look, there's a faribel going on. You don't do this. You don't do something like this. And the Pirkei de Reblezer, Medrash Pirkei de Reblezer, goes even further. In Perek Shleishim, it states, Asora Nishenes Nisabai Avraham. This we have a Mishnah in Masech Tovis. Avraham was tested by HaKadosh Baruch Hu with 10 great, enormous tests. For example, he was told to go to Eretz Yisrael, and all of a sudden he was promised all types of brachas, and all of a sudden there's a famine, and so on. The greatest test he was ever given was what we learned last week, the Akedah Yitzchak, that his only son that he waited for 100 years for, from Shora, he should go sacrifice her. That was the greatest. What was the ninth? What was the next to the greatest test given to him? So the Pirkei de Reblezer says this. Nisoyin Hatishi. The ninth test was the test to drive out Yishmael. That Yishmael came and he would do all types of evil things. He would shoot arrows at Yitzchak and so forth. And Sora saw this. And she told Avraham this, and she said, Chayecho Shein Ben Oma Azeh Yerishim Benim Yitzchok. She says, this maidservant will, and this son will not inherit with my Yitzchok. And she said, Ksev Get Gerushin, give a divorce to Hogar, and send her away together with her son. Umikol Harau Shebol Avraham, and from everything that came on Avraham, this was from the most difficult things that Avraham was ever confronted with. And he didn't know what to do. Here Avraham, that was doing chesed for the whole world, and he was bringing close a whole world, Sora comes and says, send away Hogar, that was his wife, and send away Yishmael, your son. And he was very upset. And that's what it means, Vayera Hadove Me'eid, Ve'enei Avraham. He went to sleep that night, and Ba'esa Lailo Nigla Kodesh Boch El Avraham Avinu. And that night Hashem came to Avraham. And he said, Avraham, Iato Yadesha Isa Sora Ruye Lahole Ishami Me Imo. Bihiha Vertiko Ve Ashes Nurecho. He says, do you not know that the real wife of yours is Sora? She was set aside for you when she was already only in the womb of her mother. And she is your real wife, the wife of your youth. And Hagar is not called your Ishtecho. And Sarah is not called your Shivcha, your maidservant. But in the Torah it states Sarah was called your wife, and Hagar was called Shivchosko, your maidservant. V'chol shedibro Sarah b'emes dibro. And whatever Sarah is saying, it is emes, it is true. So therefore, al yera b'einecho, states in the Torah, do not worry. Let it not be bad in your eyes what she said to do to the nar, to the son, and to the maidservant. That morning, Avraham got up, and he wrote a divorce, and he sent away Hagar, and he sent away his son Ishmael. Now, the Chazal, the sages, have a very good proof. How was it possible Sarah knew this and Avraham did not know it? Avraham also was a prophet. States explicitly. Kinovi, who it states, Avraham was a prophet. So how did Sarah know this and Avraham didn't? So firstly, we see that Sarah was a prophetess. And secondly, we see she was a greater prophetess than Avraham. And that's what Rashi brings here. Lomanu. So Avraham was a tofel the Sora ben Avius. He was secondary to the prophecy of Sora. Sora was able to see further than Avraham. This is the Gemara's Raya, and this is the explanation of this episode. Now we come to the third attribute, and that's what we said. And this is basically from her other name, Sorai. Soro, royalty. Rashi tells us later on in Parshas, you know, before in Parshas Lech Lecha, Yud Zayin Posuk Tesai. What does the word Sorai mean and what does the word Soro mean? He says Sorai means Soroshali, Soroli, my queen, but not Lacherim, not for others. Soro, Stam, Soro means a queen, Sora alakol, a queen for everyone. Now, we see here that she had this attribute of royalty, but more than just royalty, but where she could be Sora ala kol, a queen over everyone. This actually was the attribute of Avraham. Avraham was called Avraham first. What does that mean? It has two meanings. Firstly, Avraham. Av is father, Ro means mighty, a mighty father. Then the Gemara darshins, he was Av L'Aram. He was a father, a king for Aram Naraim, from the place where he came from. Later on we see that when it came to the war between the four kings and the five kings, it states there that they all got together in Emek HaMelech, in the valley of the king. Rashi brings Shehim Lichu Bai Kola Amim LeMelech. All of the nations came together and they made Avraham king. Here he started to emerge. Originally he started to be a king in his place. Then he started to emerge to be a king in other places. In Arpasha, in Kaisora, when he came to the Bnei Ches, the children of Ches, they said, Shema'enu. They said, Shema'enu Adoni, this is in Posik Vov in Arpasha, Shema'enu Adoni Nesi Elakimato B'Sechenu. B'mivcha Kforenu Kvores Misecho. They said, my Lord, you are a Nesi Elakim. You are a king who represents the Almighty. So Avram was emerging to be a great king. Before the Bris Mila, in Parshas Valech, in Lech Lecho, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Abraham. This is in Parshas Yud Zayin Posuk Aleph. Vayi Avram ben Tishim Shona v'Seisha Shorim. Avram was 99. And Hashem came to Avram and he said, walk before me and be complete. I'm going to give you my covenant. And he was referring there to the covenant of the Bris Mila of the circumcision. Then he said, Ani hine brisi itoch v'hoyiso la'av hamein goyim. I'm going to make you now for an av hamon goyim. Before he was an av over Aram, now I'm going to make you an av hamon goyim, where you will be a father to a multitude of nations. And he will be not called anymore Avram, but Avraham. I'm adding a hey, because now you will be a father over a multitude of nations, and I will make you very great. You will be nations, and kings shall come from you. So Avraham emerged as a king over everyone. Actually, it's brought that by the mitzvah of Bikurim, when someone brings Bikurim, the first fruits, so it states, you have to say what Hashem did to our fathers. Hashem gave this land to our fathers, what he did for our fathers. So the Gemara brings a ger, a convert, cannot read that parsha because it's not his father's. The Yishalmi says not like that. The Yishalmi says Abraham was a father to everyone, and certainly a father to all of the nations that will come tachas kanfi Ashkina, under the wings of the Shkina. And the Rambam paskens like this. Therefore, a ger does read the parsha. Now, in the same parsha, a little further, this is in Pasuk Tesvov. So, just as Hashem changed Abraham's name, he changed Sarah's name. Vayem Elokim al Avram. Hashem said to Avram, Sarai ishtecho. Sarai, your wife, le sikra shmo Saroi. Her name shall not be Saroi, ki Saro shmo, but it will be Saro. He added a hey. Actually, by Abraham, he merely added a hey. By Sarah, he added a hey, but took away the yud. Before it was sin resh yud, and now he took away the yud and added a hey. What does that mean? And then it says, uveirachti eso, I will bless her. וגם נוסעתי ממנה לחובן וברכתי ואיסה לגוי מלכי עמים ממנה יהיו. And also kings and nations shall come from her. So we see that both by Avraham and by Soro he added this hay. The Gemara brings in Brochus at the end of the first perek, Daf Yud Gimel. The Gemara says Avram hu Avraham bitchila nase av la'aram ul besef nase av lechol ha'ilam kula. Avram, first he was Avram, he was a father to Aram. Later he became Avraham. He became a father to the whole world. Sarai, he Sarah, b'tchila nasa Sarai l'umoso. First she was a queen to her nation, ulbesayif, and afterwards nasa Sarah l'chol ha'elam kula. She became a queen to the entire world. Here we see, what does it mean, the royalty and the queenship of Sarah? Rashi brings where Hashem was changing Avram's name. He said that when Hashem changed Sarah's name, the youth came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and placed a complaint, because he said, before I was in Sarah's name, it was Shin Reshud. Now you've added a hey, very good. But what have you done with me, with the Yud? You've discarded me. By Avraham, it was Aleph Beis Reishmem. So now it's Aleph Beis Hey Reishmem. Good. But by Sarai, it was Shin Reish Yud. Now instead of Shin Reish Yud, it's Shin Reish Hey. What's happened to the Yud? He says, you've discarded me. So he came with a big complaint. To HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't worry, I'm not discarding you. I will take the Yud and I will place you in another important name. That will be Yehoshua, in the descendant of Sora, Yehoshua. Yehoshua's name originally was Hoshea bin Nun. Hoshea. Without the Yud. This is in Parsha Shalach, when Moshe was sending the spies into Eretz Yisrael. It states in Pasuk Tes Zayin, Vayikra Moshe LaHoshea bin Nun Yehoshua. Moshe added a Yud to Yeshua's name, and it was not anymore Hoshea, but Yehoshua. So therefore, Hashem said, don't worry, you'll have a place. What is meant by that? Something very important. See, first of all, the Maral explains in the Gurayi, the Yud had a good taina, a good argument, because he had a place in a tzaddikus, he had a place in a name of a very, very righteous person. And righteousness stands forever. There's no shinui, there's no change. So why all of a sudden is he being dumped? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, we are not dumping you. Heaven forbid. We're placing you in Yeshua. Part of Sarah was given to Yeshua. Yeshua became a king. He became the king of Yisrael. He reigned over Yisrael after the death of Moshe. And this kingship he got from Sarah, who also was a queen. And not only did he get it from Sarah, but the Yud was the last letter in Sarah's name. And it became the first letter in Yeshua's name. That we see that the Sefer Ovis is the Tchilas Abonim. The very end of the Ovis of our forefathers, that's the foundation for the children. This is what we build on. If we go into this a little further, we'll see how important that Yud was. It was very important. Because what was the purpose of that Yud? When Moshe gave that Yud to Yeshua, why did he do it? So he said, "Hispalo lolov ko yoshiacho me atzis maragli." He said a tefillah. The Yud was to represent that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should pray. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should save Yehoshua from the evil designs of the spies. And this saved Yeshua, helped to save him. Had he followed the spies, then this would have been his end, heaven forbid, like the others. Instead, he emerged to become the king of Israel, to be the successor of Moshe, to teach Torah to all of Israel, and to be manchles or orets, to go and conquer Eretz Israel. This was Yeshua. Played one of the greatest roles in our history. Hinchles orets, he conquered Eretz Israel. Lamda Terel Israel, he taught Torah to Israel in the place of Moshe. And this is because he was saved from the designs of the Meraglim of the spies. And this was through the Yud that Moshe gave him. And that Yud was from Sora. This is what Sora gave Yoshua. Perhaps with this, you can understand further a Medrash, which is in our Parsha, right at the beginning of Chayei Sora. In Parshas Nun Ches Os Gimel, it states Rabbi Kiva Hoy Yeshiv V'Dorish. Rabbi Kiva was giving a shir, Va'atzibur Miznamnen, and he saw that the people were dozing off. Bikesh La'Eiron, so he decided he'll say something that will wake them up, will shock them. So he said, Omar, Mar Osa Esther Shetim Lech Alkuv Chof Zayin Medina. He asked the question. Esther became the Malka, the queen of Ahasuerus. So she became a queen over 127 Vidinas, like it states in the Megillus, Esther. He said, in what schus did Esther have to become such a powerful, all-powerful queen? Nobody could answer it, but at least he woke everyone up. Then he said, all right, I'll give you the answer. Tove Esther she basbite shel Sora shechoy sakuf v'chov v'zayin v'tim lech al kuf v'chov zayin medinais. Esther was the descendant of Sora, and Sora, it states here, lived 127 years. That's what it says in our parsha. So in that schus, she reigned over 127 provinces. What does this mean? Esther didn't only reign over 127 provinces. Esther reigned over the entire world, because Ahasuerus was the melech over the entire world. The Gemara tells us in the Masechta Megillah that Ahasuerus was from the few kings that reigned, Molach B'Kippur, reigned Misef Elam Atsefa over the entire world. That's why Purim was such a great miracle and Haman was such a great danger, because Lahashmi Lahare Golabe des Kola Yehudim. This decree was on every Jew in the world, because every Jew in the world were within the sovereignty of Ahasuerus. So when Esther became his queen, she reigned over the entire world. Now one can ask a question. The Gemara lists off very few, shleish, three, four people that reigned over the entire world. And it states HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mamlech Malochim, every king has to have permission from the Almighty to be a king. So certainly someone who reigns over an entire world. So where did Esther get that power to be a queen of the entire world? So Rabbi Kiva said she got it from her grandmother, because Sora was a queen for the entire world. That's what it states. First was Sorai, Sorali. She was a queen for Avraham, or a queen in her Medina. Later on, just like Avraham became an Av L'chola Elam Kula, Sora also, states, became a queen L'chola Elam, for the entire world. And this is where Esther inherited it from. And the remes, the indication that the Torah is telling us, is the 127. 127 was a significant number in Sora, and 127 was a significant number in Esther. So very similar to what we're saying about Sora and Esther is Sora and Yeshua. So here we see the great attribute of royalty and queenship. Now, the Maral in his Gurai asks a good question. He says, why did Sora have two different names? Why two? Well, we can understand Avrom and Avrohom, and Sorai and Soror, that we explained. But why did she have one name Yisko and another name Soro? Why two? Secondly, he asks another question. He says, we never find the name Yisko. In Kol HaTeira Kul, in the whole Torah, we only find the name Soro. Sorai, Soror. It's the same, basically the same name, it's just going further with it. Yisko we don't find. Where do we find Yisko? Right at the beginning. Like we mentioned. The first time it's mentioned, that she's mentioned, where we quoted from Parshas Nayach, Vayikach Avrom Enocha Lohem Noshim, Shemeshes Avraham Soroi, the name of the wife of Avraham when he took her Sora. Then it states, the daughter of Horon, Avi Milka Vavi Yisko. Horon was the father of Milka and Yisko. So, only here is it mentioned, but no other place is it mentioned. Second question, why should she have two names, and why all the time Sora is mentioned, it's mentioned, but except Yisko. Then he goes a little further. He says, if you will study and do your homework properly, you'll see that the only time Yisko is mentioned is in relation to her father Horon. Horon, Avi Milka, Avi Yisko. That when Sora is referred to together with her father Horon, she's called Yisko. But in the same posuk, when it's called, she's called Eshes Avram, she's referred to Avram, the wife of Avram, there it says Sora. Sorai. Shame Eshes Avram Sorai. Shem Eshes Nocho Milko Vasoron Avi Milko Avi Yisko. In relation to her father, she's called Yisko. In relation to Avraham, she's called Sorai. And then even further, in the next posuk, two psukim later. Next posuk, it says Sorai was Akora. She was barren. There it's not speaking about her father. She was barren, that had to do with Avraham. She's called Sora. And then in the next posuk, it states, Terach took Avraham his son, and he took Lot, and he takes Sora, his daughter-in-law, who was the wife of Avram. So here again, it refers to her in relation to Avram, and it calls her Sora. She says, if you'll study this, you'll find out that when in relationship to her father, she's called Yisko. But in the whole rest of the Torah, they were not relating her to her father. She's called Sora. Or relating her to Avram, she's called Sora. She says as follows. He says a woman has two dimensions. First of all, one dimension is in her own right, like everyone. What she is on her own. He says that what a person is on his own, be it a man or a woman, a great deal of that comes from Leda, from birth, from parents. A man or a woman are born with certain qualities, or they're born with certain potentials that they can develop and perfect. That has to do with Leda, with parents. Then he says a woman has a second dimension. And that is what she receives through marriage from her husband. There's a Gemara, a very strange Gemara. It's a Gemara in the first parak of Masechta Sotah. It says, Haneseh isha l'shem shamayim ki'ilu yolde. A man marries a woman, and his intentions are pure, good intentions. In various ways, it's as if he's giving birth to her. That's what the Gemara says. He says, what does that mean? Because the husband, through his excellence and perfection, can give that over to his wife. This is what it means, ki'ila yoldo. Why ki'ila yoldo? As if he's giving birth. Just as her father and mother give her qualities through bringing her into the world, a husband, if he gains and attains greatness and excellence, he can also give that over to his wife, just like the parents. So therefore, ki'ilu yoldo. Therefore, he says a woman has two dimensions. And therefore, Sora also had two dimensions. Yizkor, these were the dimensions of Sora that she had on her own without Avraham. And that's why Yizkor, that name is written only in the relation to her father Horon. Because that she came into the world with such potentials through birth. And she developed them on her own. Sora, these are the dimensions she had, which she gained through Abraham. That's why the rest of the Torah is always referring about Sora and Abraham. She's called Sora. Now let's see what they are. Yizkor, we said, man shah kol seichin b'yofyo. That everyone gazes at her beauty. All right. The beauty didn't come from Avraham. The beauty she was born with, that came from her parents. If it didn't come from her parents, they certainly had something to do with it. So therefore, Yizkor is mentioned by Horon, her father. Avi Milka, Avi Yizkor. What was a second quality of Yizkor? Shahako shesechin beruach kodesh, prophecy. Her prophecy did not come from the excellence of Abraham. What's the proof of that? Because her prophecy was greater than Abraham. If her prophecy had come from Abraham, so how could her prophecy be greater than Abraham? It states that lomanu she. Abraham toffled the Sora Benevios. That Abraham was secondary to Sora in prophecy. So therefore that prophecy that she had, that was not an overflow from Abraham's prophecy. But that was in her own right. And that must have been with qualities that she was born and she developed them further. So that also was Yizkor. But the third attribute of Sora, and that was Sorai, Soro, royalty. He says, she might have, no doubt, had a degree of royalty on her own, but that came from Abraham. Her queenship, this came from Abraham. He says, where do we see this? Because we see that only after Hashem came and gave Abraham a hay and said, you shall now be not just an individual father, but you will be a father of the entire world, then immediately afterwards he came to Sora and he gave Sora the same hay and said, you will not only be just a queen, you will be a queen of the entire world. In other words, the power to be a king or a queen in the entire world, That came from the kingship of Abraham. Therefore, in relation to Abraham, her name was Sarah. Even though this she received from Abraham, but once she received it from Abraham, it became hers, because we see that she gave it to others. She was able to give it to Yeshua. She was able to give it to Esther. So this explains to us why she had two names, Yisko and Sora. These were the two dimensions. And why Yisko is only mentioned here, but otherwise always Sora. And Yisko is mentioned in relation to her father, why Sora is mentioned all the time with her life with Abraham. These were three great attributes that Sarah had. There was one additional attribute that the Torah tells us about in Sarah, which also is important to make mention of, even though we'll have to mention it quickly. And that is in the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, when they were coming to Egypt, which we mentioned, and Abraham said, I know now that you are very beautiful, and therefore it's dangerous here with all of the Egyptians. Rashi brings another medrash. He says, Ad akshav lehikir bo miteich sniyah shebishneihem, akshav hikir bo al yidei maiso. What does it mean, Avraham said, now I know you're so beautiful? So Rashi says, because of their enormous modesty, he didn't know till now. Now he realized it. I remember when I was a young Talmud in Tel Yeshiva, this I believe is a Gemara in Bava Basra, the first parak. And our Rebbe was sick, or he wasn't there. And the gifter came in to give the shir. And it was this Gemara. And the gifter said that when he was in Europe, in Tales and Litta, he heard from one of the Gedele Rabbonim in Litta ask a question. He says, what does it mean that because of their modesty, Avraham didn't know she was so beautiful, especially in view of everything we said this evening? He said, here, her radiance filled the whole of Egypt. She was from the most beautiful women in creation. He said, this was his lotion. He says, was Abraham a Zabatlan? Was he such a batlan that he didn't recognize the beauty of his own wife, and especially of Sora? So he said, now this is what it means. He says, certainly Abraham was not such a batlan. He could see that. But he saw the radiance, like the Medrash brought, of Chava. He saw the purity of it. This is what he saw in her all the time, because of their modesty. He saw the sanctity and purity of it. When he came into Egypt, he started to see people are gazing at her with a different look in their eyes. She says, now I see, now I understand that there seems to be people that see different things in your beauty. Or if that's the case, we have to take precaution, because it can be a dangerous situation. This is what the gifter said he heard from one of the great Lifish Rabbonim. But at any rate, we see that Tznias Shebishnehem, her modesty, was praised. There's another place where we see her modesty was appraised, and that's in last week's Parsha. In Parshas Vayera, in Yeah, in Vayera, when the three angels came to visit and to tell them that in a year Yitzchok will be born to them, to Sora, so in Pasuk Tes, Yudches Tes, Vayemre lo Vayesori Ishtecho, they said to Abraham, where is Sora, your wife? Vayemi Hineva Eichel. And he answered, in the tent. And the Chazal asked, the Gemara in Bamatzir, Rashi brings it. If they were angels, they certainly knew where Sora was without asking. So why are they asking? Bob Metzia Peizain, Yodim hoyu malachi ashor esori meina hechen hoyisa. They knew where she was. Eleleidia shitznui hoyisa. Kidei lechavim al baila. They wanted to bring out the point to Abraham, her great modesty. There were strangers in the house. She kept sheltered. Lechavim al baila, to endear her even more to Abraham. So we see that the Torah here takes effort to speak of her modesty. Now modesty, we've learned this many times, the Maral brings it many times. Modesty always has to do with Kedusha, with sanctity. Because sanctity, you'll always find sheltered and concealed. For example, when you went into the Mishkan or you went into the Beis HaMikdosh, the more holy the place became, the more sheltered and concealed it was. The Kodesh was more concealed than the Chotzer. The Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, was even more concealed. It was always covered with a curtain. The Kohen Gadol had to be concealed. So is it, the Gemara says, with the Neshama. The soul in the person has so much sanctity, it's totally concealed. The Torah was placed in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and we know the wisdom and the reasons of the Torah are concealed, are sheltered. And that what is profane, you find just the opposite. That's always porut v'golot. That's always open, not sheltered. Those things that are shofel, that have very low stature in the world, that you find just the opposite. What is precious is concealed. What is cheap and profane, that is not concealed. So modesty and kedusha and sanctity go together. We find also, and this is for the same reason, that brocha, blessing, also is found on that what is concealed. And on that what is not concealed, but is golui, is always open and unsheltered, that the Gemara says you do not find brocha. Eina brocha mitzuya el adove mechusa min ha'ayin. Gemara says, brocha is found on that what is covered from the eye. On that what is left for everyone's eyes, Moses says, there you will not find brocha, you will not find blessing. To the contrary, there's a word, nakov. Nakov means perash, something which is golui, something which is open and explicit. And that's the same word of klola, of curse, the opposite of brocha. And this is also why we find that in the physical world, that what is precious, even in Gashmias, even in the physical world, the more precious something will be, and therefore it has brocha, the more concealed it is. For example, stones, that you'll find all over the street. But if you want to find silver or gold, it'll be deep into the ground. Diamonds, deep in the ground. Pearls, deep in the sea. This is for the same reason. Now, the Gemara always tells us that from snius, from modesty, because of these reasons, will come Zera Kodesh, will come a sanctified seed, a sanctified offspring. And this is what we see. Yitzchok was born to Sora. Yitzchok Yikore Lecho Zora. And Yitzchok was a seed that was sanctified. He later on became not only one of the Ovish, one of the patriarchs, but he later on he became the Akedah, an Ole Temimo. He was sanctified to become a sacrifice. And he was Mavurach. He was blessed through the whole world. Because the blessing that Abraham was given, that b'chor nivracho kol mishpacheso adoma, all of the world will be blessed through you, that came through Yitzchok. And it's not merely by coincidence that the Torah mentions the great news, the great concealment of Sora, right in the same episode where the angels are coming to tell her that from her will be born a Yitzchok. So this is another quality that we find in Sora. Now, it's very interesting. In Parshas Yisro, excuse me, in Parshas Shmos, by Yisro, it states when Moshe ran away from Egypt and he came to Midian and he came to a well. And at the well were the seven daughters of Yisro, and they came with their sheep. And the shepherds came to chase them away. And Moshe went by Yigorshum. This is in Shmeis Beis, Posuk Yud Zayin. Ayoka Moshe by Yoshion. And Moshe stood up. And he chased the shepherds away. And he went and he watered all of the sheep, their sheep. And they came back to their father. And he said, Madu mihatim behayim, why did you come back so quickly? We'll see why it was quickly in a minute. And they said, "Vatoimano ish mitzri hitzilonu miyadaroyim." There was an Egyptian man that came and saved us today. They thought he was Egyptian because he was dressed as one. And also, "Dole dolonon v'yashik hason." He came and he gave water to all of our sheep. "Vayemel ben Esa ba'ayo." So Yisro said to his daughters, "Ayo, where is he? Loma ze azaften? Why did you leave him? And lay the call him here so he can eat bread with us." Rashi brings, why did Yisro say this? Why was Yisro so upset? "Ayo, where is he? Lomaze azaften, why did you leave him? Go call him quickly." Why? An Egyptian came along, he watered the sheep, so let him go on his merry way. So Rashi says, "Hikir beishuhu mizari shel Yaakov." Yisro thought he might be from the seed of Yaakov, from Avram's seed, shamayim elim likrosei, because when he asked his daughters, "Why did you come so quickly today?" they said, "You should have seen how fast he watered our sheep, because when he got next to the well, the water came right out of the well without him even having to draw it." And Yisro was a very, very clever man. And he knew that that was a brocha that was given to Abraham and to Yitzchok and to Yaakov, that the water would come and meet them. So he said, "Maybe he's from the seed of Yaakov. Call him here. Vayechal lechem, and we will give him bread." He had in mind, "We'll make a shidduch. He'll marry one of you, one of my daughters." Maral brings in Buras Hashem, Perek Chof, from the Yalkut Shemaini, where the Yalkut says a little further. Ba'ayo. The Yalkut says, where else do we find that word ayo? He says, we find it by Sora. When the three angels came and they asked, "Aye Sora Ishtecho, where is Sora your wife?" And he said, "Ba'ohel." There that same word is used, Mayo.
So the Yalkut says, Shema me'esei zera sho'omar ayesori ishtecho. Maybe this man is from the same seed of the woman who the angel said, where is Sora, your wife? Shekol ha'elam mizborach bishvil eisei zera. And that the whole world was blessed because of that zera. This is what he meant, ayo. So the Maral explains, Yisro had two questions. Firstly, why did you come back so quickly? So they told him the water came out of the well by itself. That was a phenomenon. So he started to think, the water came out by itself. That doesn't happen all of the time. Then, when he asked his daughters, where is the man? They said, he went on his way. Yisro had another question. He says, look, if you go and you save a man's 7 daughters, surely you would come and tell the man about it in order that he could thank you. And perhaps he'll even give you something for it. Why didn't he come? Hikir Sniya Shubo. He saw the man was a tsanua. The man was modest. Modesty is not taken in its merely in its simple sense. He saw the man was very modest. He was interested in doing what was right. He saw a misjustice being done. They were chasing away the daughters. He went and he risked his life to save them. But he didn't want any fanfare. Not interested in gifts. He's not interested in awards. He's not interested in fame or fanfare. And he went on his way. Yisro said, that's not a normal person. That's not what you find all the time. The average person would have been here. And he would have been here already with the photographers. And he would have been here with the journalists. And he would have been here with the videos. See, and everything else with it, with the commercials. He says, that's not a regular person. And Yisro started to think that Yisro was from the wisest men in the world. He was one of the counselors to the mighty Paro. And he says, you know what this sounds to me? This sounds like the seed of that woman that the angel said, Aye Sora Ishtecho. Where is Sora, your wife? Bihineba Ohlel, she's in the tent. Because she had this enormous quality of modesty, and because of that came out a seed that the whole world was blessed with. And now you're telling me that he was a blessed person because when he came to the water, blessing came to the water where it overflowed. And he also had that quality of modesty to conceal himself and not to be porutz v'golui, not to be open and high profile. So he said, Loma ze azaftem, why did you leave him? Ayo, kirenlai, go call him immediately, v'yechal lochem, because I would like to become part of this seed. The kachoyon, this is what it was. He called Mesha, and Mesha got married to him, to one of the daughters, to Tzipora, and Yisro's seed became forever part of Klal Yisrael. There was Yesh ve'Yavetz. He had descendants that became leaders, Roshei Batei Dinim, of Sanhedrins, of the courts of Yisrael. This is the other quality that we find in Sorah. And this is why the Malachim at this point wanted to bring that out. And when they came to tell Sora that from her will come a son, Yitzhak. So we see that we mentioned tonight the quality of Yisro, her beauty, Shakol Seichin V'yofyo, the quality of Ruach HaKodesh, Sheseichin V'ruach HaKodesh, and these were her own qualities from her, that started with her father. The quality she gained from Avraham, Sora, she was to become a queen of the entire world like Avraham was to become a king. And then the quality of Tzniut that brought Kedusha and Brocha, sanctity to the world, that was the seed that was sanctified, and Brocha, and who brought Brocha into the world, the Nivracha Bay called Mishpacheis Adoma, that all of the families of the earth will be blessed. These are some of the character traits that we can see in Sora that the Torah indicates to us.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.